Welcome to the Chaz Palminteri Podcast. What is today, folks? Today is your day. Today is Neighborhood Logic. That's right. We get so many requests for Neighborhood Logic. That is when you, the audience, send in your questions to me so I could give you some Neighborhood Logic. Instead of going to seeing a shrink, spending all kinds of money, come talk to me. Sometimes Neighborhood Logic is the answer. You know, you just got to, you know, ask me a question and think about what I'm about to say, or, you know, on your question. ChazPalminteriShow@gmail.com. Send me your questions. Okay, but before we do that, before we get into the questions, Dante, we're going to talk about, one second, we're going to, don't forget, hit the like button. Subscribe. Our subscribers are building every single day, every month. We're getting more and more subscribers. So just to hit that subscribe button. Don't forget, if you like to see my one-man show, I am doing it all over the United States. Go to ChazPalminteri.net. ChazPalminteri.net, where I'm going to, let's see, November 14th, I'm going to be at the Paramount Theater in Huntington. I'm coming up at in Waterbury. I'll be in Waterbury, Connecticut. Just go to the site, ChazPalminteri.net. It tells you where I'm going to be. So, Dante, let's see what we got here. It's Neighborhood Logic time. What do we got? What's the first question?
I've condensed these a lot because, you know, it's a song and a dance every email we get.
Okay.
My daughter wants to be an actress, but I don't want her to do it. What should I do? From Diane in Yonkers.
A daughter wants to be an actress. She doesn't want her to do it. What should she do? Well, I could talk to you about a parent who has two kids in the arts. My son went to Berklee School of Music. He's a singer, songwriter, and an actor. My daughter goes to University of Michigan. She's in the theater program, musical theater program. So, and I always get, you know, when I speak to these colleges and I speak to the parents, sometimes I invite the parents to come with the students when I give a lecture. And this is what I tell the parents. I can only tell the people out there what I tell the parents. And that is, the business is so hard that if they don't have it in here, in their heart, don't worry, they'll stop. They're going to get no. They're going to hear the word no so many times that if they don't have the skin to do it, they will stop. They don't need their parents to tell them to stop. You are their parent. You're supposed to encourage the child. My father gave me a card. Where's that card? I can't find it. It's around here somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is. My father wrote on a card, "The saddest thing in life is wasted talent." I mean, that was his motto to me. My father and mother encouraged me a great, great deal. They always said, "Son, don't waste your talent. Whatever you want to be, you can be." They told that to my sisters, and both of my sisters became very successful. So I say to you, if you really don't want them to be an actor, don't say nothing. Encourage them. Here it is. I just got the card. "The saddest thing in life is wasted talent." It was a little card like this. I made them a little bigger. If you go to my store, actually, ChazPalminteri.net, I sell these cards, only bigger signed cards, and it's a good thing to give to your child or someone that you want to inspire. But getting back to the question, what was the person's name? You remember? Dante?
Diane.
Diane, encourage them. Support them emotionally and financially if you have to. That's okay. Because believe me, they will quit if they don't have it in their heart. Because only two things could happen if you don't keep supporting them, and they're both bad. One is they won't make it, and they'll resent you forever. Or two, they will make it, and they'll resent you forever. So it's a lose-lose. So you're better off encouraging them, telling them to follow their dream, and you're there whenever they need help. Trust me, if they don't have it, they'll stop. But let it be on their own. Okay, Dante, another question?
My boyfriend loves junk food, and I don't. I hate his diet. This is from Rita in Brooklyn.
Wow, that's a weird question. Okay, well, obviously, I mean, I don't know if it's, does that call for breaking up, you think? I don't think so.
No, but it is definitely an indicator of, like, you know, it doesn't say how old they are.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, when they talk like that, we assume they're in their 20s.
Yeah. But,
I would say.
You know, if you don't cut that out and you eat like that in your 40s, you're going to be
no, exactly.
In trouble.
I mean, the thing about, you know, the amazing thing about food is, I think you brought up a good point, Dante, before we were talking about food. When we were looking over the questions we were going to answer.
Yeah.
Remember you said, what did you say exactly?
Well, food is the only addiction. I mean, why America is the fattest country in the world. Food is the only addiction where it's actually encouraged. In everyday media, you go to CVS, there's little cookies. You go to every store you go to. It doesn't even have to be a food store. Every store you go to has little candies. Every commercial is bright colors. Eat this food.
It's about food, right.
It plays on our lizard brain. We go, oh my God, look at all these calories. Look at all this sugar. I got to eat as much as I can.
Well, they said food is like cocaine, right?
Yeah, the addiction to sugar is similar to the addiction of cocaine. I mean, it makes your dopamine levels go crazy. Because when we were caveman, if we came across, you know, something that was super high in calories, super sugary, a lot of calories, we ate the whole thing because you don't know when you're going to eat again.
Right.
But
right.
If your brain hasn't figured out, like, oh, I could just eat that. Like, I don't need to eat 8,000 calories.
Right. So, like you said, do you imagine, like, if it's similar to cocaine food, do you imagine every minute of every day they're shoving cocaine in your face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's incredibly difficult to quit that.
I mean, that's how, if you look at that show, I know you love that show, the 600, My 600-Pound Life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you say to yourself, these people, they're 600, 700, 800 pounds. I mean, it has to be an addiction because, let's be honest, I mean, I'm not making a joke here, but when they were like 585, then somebody say, hey, babe, come on, you got to try a salad. This is wrong here.
You know, you're big and then you feel bad because you're big.
Right.
So you eat.
So you eat.
So you eat because you feel bad. And then you eat, and then that makes you bigger. And then you feel bad that you got bigger. Then you eat. Then that you get bigger. And it's a vicious cycle. And then before you know it, you're there.
You're dead. Right. So getting back to this young lady, she's saying that. I mean, you're probably in your 20s. It sounds that way. I would encourage your boyfriend, look, you got one body. Do you imagine if you became 18 and you started to drive and you had a driver's license and I said to you, okay, you could buy one car your whole life, one car, so you better take care of it. Because when that car breaks down, you got no car. How would you take care of that car? You would make sure it gets the best gas. You would make sure it gets the best oil. You wouldn't overdrive it. You wouldn't burn it into the ground. You wouldn't speed. You wouldn't do anything reckless. Well, you know what? You only get one body, folks. One body. So why not treat this body like it's a temple? Why not treat this body like it's something special? I mean, I've been watching my weight and watching my diet all my life. I mean, I believe in intermittent fasting. I do intermittent fasting. My son does. We do. My family does. And it's very helpful. I remember when I spoke to the head of longevity at Beverly Hills, and I asked him, I said, Doc, is there one thing that really works? One thing that works. We say, don't eat this, eat that. You could eat this. No, don't eat that. As soon as you think you could eat something, a year later, they say, oh, nope, that's bad for you. But he said, one thing does work, Chaz, and that is the less you eat, the longer you live. He did say that. The more, the less caloric intake you have, the longer you'll live. It's like a car. A car's got 300,000-400,000 miles on it. It burns out. Well, your organs are like pistons. So the less you eat, you give your body a rest, the longer you'll live. I hope that answers your question, dear. I know I didn't answer. I answered it around the bat. I got stuck on this diet thing. But tell your boyfriend, hey, This is the only body he has, and he's in his 20s probably, is to take care of himself. All right, Dante.
Okay. Am I spoiling my child if I buy her a new car? I want her to be safe. Anthony from Florida.
Anthony from Florida. Am I spoiling my child if I... So obviously she's probably just getting her license. Well, look, this is a hard one for me because I did buy my children new cars when they became old enough to drive. And I did that for the same reason that he's saying it, so they would be safe. I didn't want them to drive somewhere and be stuck on the road or be coming home late at night and be stuck in a snowstorm. I said, look, you're going to get four-wheel drive. We live here on the East Coast. Absolutely. Well, you live in Florida, so, Anthony, so she doesn't need four-wheel drive. But I bought them four-wheel drive because we live here, you know, on the East Coast, and the weather can be rough here. So, you know what? If you could afford it, explain to her, you know, you're buying her a new car because you want her to be safe, and I'm sure she'll be happy. But if you want her to spend something, and if she has money, tell her she has to pay for her insurance. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So she has some sense of responsibility. But if you buy your daughter here, in this case, a 3 or 4 year old car, and God forbid she breaks down somewhere, you're not going to feel good about it. And especially today, they have all these things all these cars, the Volvo, the Subaru, the Mercedes. I know I'm saying certain cars, BMWs, but even a lot of the other cars that are not so high-end, they have all these safety features today where if you're going to hit something, the car will stop. If you're going into a different lane, the car will stop. I think it's called something about the... it's a laser thing that they put in the window. A lot of cars have it today. And I think that will help your child feel a lot safer. I think it could save her from getting into an accident. So I say go for it. If you could afford it, buy her a new car. Now, if she gets into an accident or breaks it or doesn't take care of it, that's something to talk to her about. You have to tell her two things. You have to take care of the car and no tickets. Remember that. She gets tickets. That's a like a scratch. Think of that.
When did you get your first new car?
Me. When did I get my first new car? I didn't get my new car till I was about, everybody knows my story. I never really had money to buy a new car. I guess when I was about 36, I finally had the money to buy a new car. 36, 37, when I sold Bronx Tale, that's when I bought a new car. I remember that feeling.
What car was it?
It was a 1988 Legend, nice. Acura Legend, I remember.
What was the car that they gave you for that thing?
Oh, that was, yeah. They leased that car for me. Finally, that's a great story, but I'll make it quick. When I didn't know if I was going to sign with William Morris, ICM, or CAA. And at that time, all three of them were courting me, wanting me to go there. I mean, Bronx Tale was in the theater. I was doing it in the theater. Everybody wanted it. Everybody, you know the story. They offered me $250,000, $500,000. Then it got to $1 million, and I still said no. Then De Niro came to see it, and obviously Bob gave me my break. I remember around that time, I wasn't sure which place I was going to go to, and I got I had a little hole in my radiator, and it kept leaking. So finally, every 3 or 4 days, I had to put water in. So I had a meeting with William Morris to discuss representation, and I called him. I said, look, I can't be there because my car overheated. I was stuck on the road. And they said, no, wait, hold it. You're not signing with anybody else. I said, no. We'll get right back to you. So I walked back home. I left the car where it was about 3 blocks from my house, from my apartment in North Hollywood. And about an hour later, I got a knock on the door. And this guy says, you Chaz Palminteri? And I said, yeah, come with me. And I walked downstairs. And there was a brand new 1989 Cadillac Eldorado. that they got for me, they leased it for me for 2 years. And I called them up and I said, hey, I didn't decide I was going to sign with you guys. They said, no, we want you not to be late for your meetings. You should be safe. And I was ecstatic. And I got in that brand new car. It was the first time I had a new car. And William Morris got it for me. And I was driving down the 405 on my way to see them. And I was like, wow, this was really, it was really great. So
did you sign with them?
I did end up signing with them. I ended up signing with William Morris, and I was there. I'm still with William Morris, in fact, for all these years. So anyway, I know we went off a little bit of a rant, but hey, you got the money to buy your daughter or your son a new car? Buy it. Let them pay for the insurance.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They didn't write a name for this one or say where they were. My son doesn't want to go to college. He wants to come into the business with me. I'm a plumber, but I want him to get an education and do better than me.
A plumber? A plumber? You're probably doing better than anybody. Look, what I say about that is college is great. It really is. Now, a lot of kids go to college and then they leave college and all of a sudden they're in like $150,000 debt. If you're going to go to college and you're really going, see, it's hard for me to say this, because what I love about college is even if you don't use what you studied for, it makes you a better person. You evolve. You're with people who are not the people you grew up with. You're out of your mom and dad's house. You become a better person. You learn things about life. And also you meet people that might help you later on in life. Because that's what life's all about, communication, meeting other people and communicating with each other. As you get bigger, they get bigger. Some people get bigger higher than you, and you could call them, they help you, you help them. That's what life's all about. Then again, I would tell this dad about his son, if his son really wants to be a plumber, see if he wants to go to school, college, and let him be a plumber during the summer. Let him learn the trade. This way he could do both. He could do both. And when he graduates, he could say, Dad, I want to come in the business with you. Or, Dad, I found another passion. So it's not either or. My neighborhood logic says, let him do both. He's going to need a job in the summertime. He's going to need a job at spring break and Christmas time. Why not? Let him learn the trade and see how he feels. Because it's a win-win. If he goes into the business with you, plumbers do really well. Let me tell you something. Everybody goes to college and everybody ends up in debt. Am I right, Dante? A lot of your friends end up, they're in debt?
Everybody's in student loan debt. It's the only student loan debt that declaring bankruptcy doesn't do anything for.
Right. So they don't really help you.
No, you'll be paying your student loan off until... I mean, it's insane how expensive.
Well, I mean, Well, you don't have one, thank God.
Yeah,
but
I'm very lucky.
You're very lucky. And if your parents are fortunate enough to pay for your college and you don't have a loan when you graduate, thank God and thank them. Now, some parents, and I'm not saying it's wrong, believe otherwise. They think, I am going to let my child go to work and pay for his own way. And you know what? That's okay. I respect that and I understand that. And maybe it works for that child. I wanted to try to help my children out and take care of their college. Because then it's on you. Hey, I took care of your college. All you have to do is work hard. So I say to this gentleman here, you could do both. He can go to college and he could study to be a plumber. Because let me tell you something. Plumbers, electricians, builders, bricklayers, masons, there's a shortage of those people. We need those people, and those people make a fortune today. Okay.
Okay. This one is from Leeds in the UK.
Leeds.
I'm 28, and I think about my mortality frequently. One of the side effects is that it creates a sense of urgency to work harder towards financial independence.
Right.
Startup company. For both myself and my family, attempt to create generational wealth or be the one to start it. It helps improve on decisiveness and appreciate the time we have on this planet we call home. How often do you think about death in general? How does it affect your day-to-day life or future decisions?
Boy, he wrote a mouthful, that guy. Leeds, from England. Was from London?
Leeds. Yeah, no, Leeds. Leeds.
Leeds. I love London.
No, Leeds.
Leeds.
Not London. Totally different place.
No, I said, he's from Leeds.
Leeds.
Leeds, okay. Well, how often do I think about death? Every day. We all think about death. Even if you don't think about it, it's there subconsciously in your head. I think that a lot of the abuse that people put on themselves, like drugs and alcohol and even sex, people go and they do this to forget about death. I think people think about it a lot. And you know what's funny, guys? The older you get, the more you think about it. You ever notice how old you get, the more time flies? I mean, it goes faster when you're older. I remember when we were kids and you had the summer off? The summer was forever. Forever. It was like, oh my God, I don't go back for 3 months. 3 months was forever. Now 3 months is like a pimple on a cow's ass. Excuse the expression. It goes like that. All of a sudden, it's Christmas, New Year's. I say, thank God the holidays are over. And all of a sudden, boom, thank God they're back again. So the older you get, the more time flies. Because I think it's more precious. But the key is, you know that old saying? I think it was Mark Twain who said it. He said, youth is wasted on the young. Because if I knew now what I knew when I was 17, oh my God. But, you know, one day you look in the mirror and you look like your father. One day you look in the mirror and you look like your mother. You go, how did this happen? How did this happen? But it happens. So answering your question, it's okay to think about death, but you have to do something about it now, in the present time. So I say, look at death and make it motivate you. Say, hey, I got X amount of time left, so every day I don't want to waste it. Think of how many days you wasted in your lifetime. Think about it. Think of how many hours you wasted today. I waste days. I waste hours. I used to waste a lot more, but I don't anymore. Except once. No, I can't say that. Once in a while, I still do. But that's okay. But I get right back on the horse and, you know, the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. I keep having that mantra in my head. Okay? Think if you wasted out of your whole life, let's say 5 years, 5 years of bullshit that you did out of your whole life, on your deathbed, tell me what you would pay to have those 5 years back. If somebody said, you know, you wasted 5 years of your life just on boredom and bullshit, would you like to have those 5 years right now? Wow. You would take 6 months. So think about that. Think about the time you have on this earth. Do something with your life. You know, you're stuck in a relationship. Get out of it. Get out. You're stuck in a job. Get out of it. You could do it. I know, well, I have a family. Find, if there's a will, there's a way. Find something else to do with your life. Don't just let life dictate to you what it's going to be. You have to dictate to life how it's going to be. People pick their joys and their sorrows way before they really happen. Okay? Because sooner or later, you're going to have to face it. So you might as well face it head on. The only way to fight the demons that chase you in the night is to stop and turn around. Dante, what's the next question?
Very inspiring. Okay. Next question is, hang on.
What?
The next question is from Juan.
From where?
Juan.
Juan.
No, it's a guy.
It's a guy. Okay.
Not a place. Okay, from Australia, from Sydney.
Oh.
Could you tell us a bit how you got to know Dean Carey? I'm super curious.
Dean Carey. Oh, Dean Carey was from an acting class that I did. I gave a lecture on Zoom for Australia. And I did not know Dean Carey. It was really Ted Bernetti. Ted Bernetti, who is a wonderful actor, singer, who was in A Bronx Tale, the musical. He was the one who hooked me up with Dean. And that's how we did the class and the lecture. So a shout out to Teddy out there. He was the one who hooked it up. I would love to do the one-man show in Australia. And again, if people want to see the one-man show, I am all over the United States. I will be at a city probably near you. Just go on chazpalmateri.net and you will see where I am. I am doing the original one-man show that Robert De Niro saw. It is the only time in history that something was a one-man show, then a major movie, then a musical. But if you saw the musical and the one-man and the movie, see the one-man show. Some people like that the best, seriously. What do we got next, Dante?
Okay. My question is, we all know you're very proud of your Sicilian and Italian heritage. During your youth in the Bronx, was Sicilian or Italian widely spoken in the neighborhood, and did the wise guys understand and speak it to you?
Well, did they speak it to me?
To each other day to day.
Oh, did they speak it to each other? They did speak it to each other day to day. They did speak. A lot of them were Sicilian because my family's from Sicily, both my mother and father. As my father would say, you're 100% Sicilian. Be proud of that. And now the dialect, the Sicilian dialect, is like, I don't even know, it's Italian, but it's another language. I mean, literally, the words are so different. Like, let's go would be andiamo is the right way to say it. But in Sicilian dialect, it's amonin. I mean, that's not even close. You know what I mean, folks? So, but my mom and dad, my mom spoke the dialect very well. But when I was growing up in the Bronx, they didn't want to teach it to me and my sister because my grandfather was like, hey, we're here in America. We learn the language. Don't make them speak Italian, which I really found, I wish they did teach us that. I got to learn it a little bit as I got older. And my son speaks Italian. My daughter speaks Italian. My wife speaks fluent Italian. So I feel sometimes left out when we travel to Italy. We have a house in Italy. And I feel kind of left out sometimes. But I'm trying to learn as much as I could. But yes, they did speak it. And I miss those days. What do we got?
Okay. Another thing from Sicily. I got a question. How to deal with my wife's family if I don't find myself comfortable with them? We're not married, but we've been staying together since 2008, and we've just had a baby. They're a bit too much intrusive, let's say. I need some neighborhood logic to solve this. A big hug from Sicily.
Wow. Does he leave his name?
Ettore.
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 Ettore. Well, wow. Look, not everybody gets along with their in-laws, you know? I was very blessed. I had two great in-laws, Jerry and Rose Renato, my lovely wife's mom and dad, and they stayed with us for a long time. They stayed with us on and off for 20 years sometimes, and they passed away while they were living here. And I was fortunate, my wife and I, we gave them a great life, you know. We traveled with them, and they helped us with the children. But you're saying you don't get along with them. But here's the thing I don't understand. You've been together since 2008. So, wow, you've been together a long time. And I don't know what you're going to do about it now. And he just had a new baby? I wonder if this is their first baby, did they say? Did he say it's his first child? No, it can't
no.
be.
No, he didn't say he has another kid.
Well, they're very intrusive. Wow. You're kind of in a lose-lose thing.
Fake your own death.
What?
Give us ways to fake your own death.
What do you mean fake your own death?
Well, that's one way.
Fake your own death?
Fake your own death.
Oh, come on. Would you stop it now? Look, he's going to have to, like, deal with it. I think he has to speak to his wife and say if she could speak to them. Now, if she's saying, welcome, I like your intrusiveness, then he's got a problem. But he has to talk to his wife about it and say, look, honey, I want it just to be you and I sometimes. And she has to understand that, because obviously it's causing a rift between you and your wife. I think you have to make her understand how serious it is. If it is that serious, try to be nice to them, your in-laws. And maybe they'll reciprocate and be nice to you. Don't always have that, like, banging heads together. You know what I mean? Try to be nice to them, and maybe they'll be nice to you. But that is a tough one. In-laws are a tough one. What do we got, Dante?
Okay. Next one.
What? What's so funny?
Sardines.
Sardines?
How do you eat these? Plain or in a fish salad? Tell us your recipe.
Sardines. Well, obviously, that guy's Sicilian. All Sicilians love sardines. I love sardines. I could eat them like potato chips. I love pasta cansade, which is pasta and sardines. I love the best, a real Sicilian thing with sardines is get a piece of Italian bread, put some butter on it, and a sardine. Listen to me. Don't laugh. Eat that. The butter, the sweetness of the butter, the saltiness of the sardine, it is amazing to put that in your mouth. It is absolutely amazing. All Sicilians love sardines. They do. In fact, please, anybody has any great sardine recipes, please send them to chazpalmenteryshow@gmail.com. Send me your questions there, because that's neighborhood logic. Right now, this show is... Dante, are we doing Neighborhood Logic here?
This is Neighborhood Logic.
That's right. Neighborhood Logic. We have some more episodes coming up next week. We got Old School coming up. We got Life Lessons coming up. Life Lessons about life. But my Neighborhood Logic, where the audience are the stars, they call us and tell us what they want to hear. So our Neighborhood Logic episodes do really well. We got Sandy Blue Eyes coming back. We got Ralphie Squiggy coming back. We got Mr. Al Cicelli coming on. We got Vinny Dice and Tony Sazich coming on. Al Nasarelli from The Sopranos. All these neighborhood guys that we love when they come on, because it's old school time, folks. So remember, go to chazpalmenteri.net to see where I'm playing with the one-man show. Don't forget my restaurants, one in Manhattan, 30 West 46th Street. I'm there. And my new one in White Plains, New York, 264 Main Street in White Plains. Two of the top Italian restaurants anywhere in New York, folks. It has to be great. Why? Because my name is on it. That's why it has to be great. Great. Fresh pasta, fresh fish, great steaks. It really is truly a great place to eat. So, folks, I'll see you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. God bless you all.